Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highways of the north, this is Safety Wars. Four. Friday, July 12th, 2024. Yesterday, I celebrated the anniversary. 32 years. And I posted earlier today a totally self-serving video. I'll be honest, I'm a self-promoter, shameless. Totally self, like we all aren't. Come on. Gotta toot our own horn every once in a while. Just don't overdo it. 32 years in the safety industry, health and safety and environmental industry, yesterday. A lot of people got me there. I stand on the shoulders of giants, as the saying goes. So you're going to be seeing some more videos and things of that nature, you know, for what we do here and everything else. So my wife is like, you didn't have to do a video with someone else talking. And I said, well, you know what? We have that, and we'll be sending that out, you know, when appropriate. Now we have something to edit. But you're going to get the 10 things today. The 10 things that Jim Poelzel has learned in the 32 years of my career. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'll be honest. No, I could have made it, 20, less than 20 things. But one of the things I did not include that I now think I probably should have, it was this. If anybody calls themselves a safety expert, run. Do not walk away. Run. Run for the hills. Especially the self-identified safety experts. You got to be very, very careful of them. Right? Just the way it is. Now, you can know a lot about one subject. You can do this, but someone's always the expert. And as in the video I had tonight, right? The person, and this is one of the tenets of HOP, right? Human Organizational Performance. One of the tenets here is that the employee is the expert, not that manager. Not the one not doing the job, not the outside person. And I make this one caveat. You have to have what are called learning teams with all this stuff. It's like, Jim, well, what do you mean learning teams? You got to have learning teams. You got to sit down. And, you know, Brett Sutton, a friend of the program, and several other friends of the program, always talk about learning teams where you have to sit down and learn. So two nights this week, I was doing hazardous waste operations and emergency response training for managers, right? So when you have these courses and you're doing these trainings, it has to be relevant to your audience. Too many times you hear these folks, they get signed up, okay, we're going to go and we're going to have this 40-hour training or 8-hour refresher training, usually 8-hour refresher. We're going to have this and we're going to have that. And then it's along the lines of, this is how you put on a hard hat. This is this, and this is, gloves, and there's some new glove technology out there. And, that's important that they know that there's something really new that comes out, and, this is neat, and this is a new way of doing things, new technology. That's what that refresher training is for, in part. But it's also, how do you manage If you're a manager, how do you manage the stuff that goes on at a hazardous waste site? And that's where me, specialize in. How do we manage this? What are we looking for? Do we have examples? Do we have exercises where people talk and we get people talking? And we essentially do all of this learning and talking and discussing, and you know, and everybody gets something out of it. It's relevant to what they're doing. So that's how I roll. Now, I go in there, yes, there's training materials, some handouts. I have some stuff in case somebody wants to talk. And believe me, everyone talks in my thing. Maybe one or two people don't, but basically everyone talks. We go into acts investigations, human organizational performance, learning teams. All this stuff gets included in there. And the thing is this, everybody's afraid to do that. So we're going to go, I have some new commercials here. We're going to go right from, that's what we're going to talk a little bit about, and we're going to have these little snippets in the future on different subjects and basic OSHA stuff. So this is the, we're talking about the general duty clause in this segment here. So let me know what you think about it.
Want to avoid hefty OSHA fines and keep your team safe? Let's dive into the General Duty Clause. The General Duty Clause, Section 5, A1 of the OSHA Act of 1970, is a catch-all rule to cover unregulated hazards. Employers must keep workplaces free from recognized dangers that could cause death or serious harm. For OSHA to cite you under the General Duty Clause, they must prove the following four things. 1. The employer failed to render its workplace free of a hazard. 2. An employee was exposed to that hazard. 3. That hazard was causing or likely to cause death or serious physical harm. And 4. Feasible means exist to free the workplace of the hazard. Employees aren't off the hook either. Section 5B mandates they follow all safety standards. Both employers and employees must work together to maintain a safe work environment. Examples: think lifting above shoulder height repeatedly or working without proper support. Stay proactive. Monitor work areas, apply the four-part test, and you'll prevent those nasty citations and keep everyone safe. Need help? And more information? Contact Jim Posel and the Safety Wars team to help you prevent workplace incidents. Conduct safety audits and training. Contact the Safety Wars team at jim@safetywars.com or 845-269-5772. Visit us on the web at www.safetywars.com. Let's build a safer workplace together.
Okay, so let me know how you think. We're going to have little snippets there of information throughout this. So something, we'll go into the 10 things in a minute here, but something just came across, right, literally like 1 minute before airtime here. So we've been, you know, on Monday we talked about the Alec Baldwin thing, and, you know, a lot of the stuff, what happens is the... A lot of stuff that happens, you know, you people forget about the basic details in the news media. Regular people aren't going to comment on it. But, you know, as a reminder, if you have a job to do, you got to do it. And we're going to talk about that through one of the things I learned here, right? But if you have a job to do, do the job. And someone goes out there and tells you, don't do your job, you better have it in writing. But realize that that's not enough. Hannah Contreras Reed found that out. That's not enough. You have to have, someone's doing stuff that's going to get someone killed, that could get someone catastrophic release or get someone seriously hurt. You got to do your job regardless of what the writing is. All right, that's what the moral of the story is. And number one. Number two, those safety standards that we have out there, general duty clause, you just talked about it now in our little snippet here. All that matters. Just because it's not in the freaking OSHA manual, the OSHA book, doesn't mean that you're not responsible for it, right? Because the intent of all of these rules is preventative in nature. It's not ex post facto. Oh, you didn't do this. Shame on you. No, that's not it. It is proactive and it's preventative in nature. So you got to worry about preventing injuries. That's what it is. Now, this came through right here. Here. This is from the Associated Press. A New Mexico judge on Friday wrote a sudden and stunning end to the involuntary manslaughter case against Alec Baldwin, dismissing it in the middle of the actor's trial and saying it cannot be filed again. So, basically, it can't file it again. He's off. Judge Mary Marlowe Summer dismissed the case based on the misconduct of police and prosecutors over the withholding of evidence from the defense in the 2021 shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Russ. Baldwin cried, hugged his two attorneys, gestured to the front of the court, then turned. I don't know what that gesture was. I can only guess, right? I'm sure there's video out there. Then turned to hug his crying wife, Hilaria, the mother of seven of his eight children, holding the embrace for 12 seconds. He climbed into an SUV outside the Santa Fe courthouse without speaking to the media. The late discovery of this evidence, this is the judge, the late discovery of this evidence during trial has impeded the effective use of evidence in such a way that it has impacted the fundamental fairness of the proceedings, Marlowe Summer added. If this conduct does not rise to the level of bad faith, it certainly comes so near to bad faith to show signs of scorching. If you recall on Monday, I had mentioned, it might have been the week before when this was all starting, right, if a gun was not involved here, my personal opinion, not the opinion of Jay Allen or Safety FM or anybody else, my opinion, if a gun wasn't involved, I don't think that this would have went anywhere. To be honest, because how many times do people die at work a year? 5,000, give or take? You know, aside from New York and a couple of other states, nobody really gets prosecuted here for this stuff. So, Hanneke Torres-Reed and her boss, they were David Hall, I believe it was. Don't quote me on that. This is a rarity. The evidence that sank the case, revealed during the trial's second day of testimony Thursday, was the existence of ammunition that was brought to into the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office in March by a man who said it could be related to the Hutchins killing. Prosecutors said they deemed the ammo unrelated and unimportant, while Baldwin's attorneys alleged they buried it. The defense filed one of many motions they had made to dismiss the case over evidence issues. All the others were rejected, but this one took. Judge's decision ends the criminal culpability of the 66-year-old Baldwin after nearly a three-year saga that began when a revolver he was pointing at Hutchins during rehearsal went off, killing her and wounded Joel Souza. Our goal from the beginning was to seek justice for Helena Hutchins, and we fought to get this case tried on its merits, District Attorney Mary Carmack always said in a statement. We were disappointed that the case did not get to the jury. Anyway, going on. So there's going to be other stuff dismissed as well. No motions filed to dismiss other things, and I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on the radio. So this is a stunning turn of events here. Some would say that he got lucky. He didn't get lucky. One thing, regardless of the evidence in this case and everything else, the video that was out there after this happened, in that October 2021 video of him in the parking lot screaming and yelling and wailing and crying and on the phone and everything else, there's no doubt in my mind he feels guilty in this. There's no doubt in my mind he's psychologically impacted by this. There's no doubt in mind that Helena Hutchinson's family is in mourning over this. Yeah, they got a settlement of some sort. Not winning the lottery. When you lose a family member in the workplace, when anyone or any other situation, when you lose a family, especially under circumstances like this, there is no closure. I hope the families are all doing okay here, because that one person in one report mentioned this. I hope the family is okay. How are they doing? Now the Helena Hutchinson's family. How are they doing? No, it's a private issue and everything else. I'm sure I hope and pray that they're doing well, as can be. There are no winners here. Someone might say, well, he beat the rap. He did this. He did that. There are no winners. No winners here. Now, that's just my own thinking on here. I mean, you can agree or disagree or anything else, but I don't know. Very sad case. Now,
So I ran through the intro again now that we are streaming on YouTube and our other video platforms. So so I just went over for the people who just are coming on to the video. On the whole Alec Baldwin thing, I will have that separate. So what are we going to do? Tonight, it's a special night for me. This week was a special week. We are at 32 years in this industry as of yesterday. So, started out doing geotechnical work and health and safety related to that, right to know inventories, the famous right to know inventories in the state of New Jersey. And that's how I got my start doing this stuff and dealing with SDS or MSDSs, right? Now SDSs and things of that nature. And we learned. Now that everyone's going to start somewhere. There's got to be a starting point. And then what happened was about a year later, a friend of mine, John Arnosky, and another friend of mine, Kim, we'll leave her first name as Kim. They're a very close friend of mine. They were dating, and I was out of work, and he said, "Hey, Jim, why don't you try out and do safety full-time on a hazmat site? You know how to run all the equipment, industrial hygiene, you know, and everything else, but you don't know you're going to learn. Stay with it. If you don't like it, then leave." And here we are 32 years later. Right? But anyway, 10 things I learned. I actually learned 11 things, right? I should have put another item in here, a couple of things on here. But what exactly are we doing here? You know, what did I learn? What can you say after this? So our 10 things. Number one, clearly define your job duties and authority. How many times have I said this on the show? Clearly define your job duties and authority in your employment contract, specifying if you have the power to hire, fire, discipline, or implement changes, right? So why do you want that? Why? It could protect you legally, give you some stuff, you still got to do your job, but no, try to keep in your lane. The big thing is, right, you get onto these jobs, right, as a consultant or even as a direct hire safety person, and they're like, "Well, why don't you do something about X, Y, and Z? How come you don't do that? Well, why aren't you implementing change?" Well, if you have it in writing, "Hey, not my job. I don't have the authority to do this stuff." Kind of hard for management. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do anyway sometimes, but kind of hard for anyone to say anything. It's like it's not that you're giving excuses. It's that, "Hey, I'm not given the authority to do this." Now, on the converse side of this, if they tell you, "You have the authority to do this," then it's like, well, now you do that. Now you have the authority to do it. It's in writing. This way, if someone says, "He's stepping on my toes," or "She's doing this," or "I was given the authority to correct this issue." Period. Same thing when I am out on a project, and one of my people is out on a project, and what happens? There's an incident, could be a near miss, it could be an actual incident where something bad happens. I make the notifications that I need to make, and I tell the project manager or the site super, whoever's there, "Okay, I am going to institute a investigation here. Do I have your permission to do the investigation? Yes or no?" Almost always is yes. Sometimes it's no. "No, you don't. I will handle that." And okay, whatever you want to do. But you know, you have to make them. Now, if there's an issue, "Hey, I was not given the authority to do this." Or, "I was given the authority to do this. I'm doing an investigation," right, with this. Or a learning team. And the thing is, you don't want to be adversarial. You never want to get an adversarial. Now, here's another one. If someone instructs you, you got to document a report. Someone instructs you not to perform your duties, document the interaction. Consider reporting it, especially in an immediately dangerous life and health situation. And if the instruction comes from a superior, right? You better make damn sure that you do that. And remember, written orders cannot be countermanded unless it's some kind of dire emergency with a verbal order. Can't do it. Why? Because if there's a problem, they're going to come back. Someone's going to come back and say, well, the plan says in writing X, Y, and Z. And you say, well, so-and-so told me don't worry about that. Do the X. Well, yeah, but the plan says X, Y, and Z. Why wasn't it done? And guess what? Guy, the person's going to be out for themselves. The way it is. No, they'll throw you under the bus. Believe me, they'll throw you under the bus. You got to be smart about it. Now, you're going to say, well, Jim, you sound adversarial. Guess what? If they know that you got your groove note together, people are going to respect you more, right? At least there's a higher chance of them respecting you. You know, you can't guarantee anybody respect here. Maintain a sense of humor. Number three, maintain a sense of humor. Maintain a sense of humor and don't take yourself seriously. Laugh at yourself. Have fun when appropriate. Now, ease tensions and improve workplace relationships. Now, the thing is this. When there is an issue, and there are issues, there are troubles, we're dealing with people, and especially now where we have people out there, letting their private lives hang out there, you know, on all different types of subjects, huge amounts of subjects. You have to ask the question, and I started asking this question 15 years ago. Is it my business? And if it's none of my business, move on. None of my business. If it is my business, or I think, yeah, it is my business, well, why is it my business? And if it's truly my business, have a rationale why it's my business. Make sure you have a constructive approach before you're going to intervene. That's what you want to do. Value human life. Now, you're going to say, well, Jim, what are you talking about? People don't value human life? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, people do not value human life. Welcome to the construction and environmental world. A lot of general industry, too. I can name several general industry clients. They have no value of human life. Zero. Nada. Zilch. And they act accordingly. So regardless of what you say, you can have the most inspiring speech in the world. You can have great things. I mean, you could be the Winston Churchill of safety speeches. You could have the great orators. You can be a great orator. Guess what? They don't give a shit about human life. Well, that's got to happen to you. What do you think? So what we often do is talk about the cost of the company. How much is it going to cost you? Someone gets an eye injury, how much is that going to cost you? So this situation happens, how much is it going to cost you? I get these people all the time with carbon monoxide, for example. Carbon monoxide is not an issue, blah, 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 blah. And then I explain what the medical procedures are for treating carbon monoxide poison if the person survives. I mean, if they're injured and they're dead, IDLH, they're permanent. Now, you're dealing with a whole bunch of costs. But what does it take to treat a carbon monoxide-related injury? It's a pretty extensive thing. So what happens? What do you think happens? Oh, how much is it going to cost? It's going to cost me that? Yeah, and you're going to have to sell a lot more widgets to make up that cost, even with the workers' comp. And it's like, oh. And then the workers' comp, that's another one. Well, do you realize, yeah, workers' comp is good where you get now, the care that you need, usually, you get to see doctors and everything else. But it's a no-fault policy. So normally what happens, a supervisor tells you to do X, Y, and Z. Unless it's something over the top, you get hurt. They don't follow OSHA regulations. What happens? Supervisor goes on their way. Company goes on their merry old way. May have higher workers' comp rates or something like that for a couple of years, whether you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they go on. There's no risk to them because with risk, you have to have, right, the likelihood of something happening and what's the consequence. There are no consequences. You think they're going to give a shit? No, they're not. OSHA compliance. Organizations, this goes with number five here. Number six, OSHA compliance. Organizations that violate OSHA regulations often breach other employment laws as well. Be vigilant and throw in your assessments. Assessing a company. Okay, they won't handle, they won't give us one thing. Now on the other end, okay, you know, on the other end, what else are they not doing? Are they not paying wages? I mean, you do know that we had a major change in the wage laws July 1st. What are you doing? Ignorance and hostility. Noncompliance with OSHA or EPA regulations may stem from ignorance rather than malice. Those situations, respect and kindness and avoid hostility. So if someone's not doing something, find out why. Don't assume that they're stupid. Don't resolve. Well, guess what? You got to work with people. Hey, why? No, why is this happening? Get along with them. They may not know what the right thing to do is. They may have been trained the wrong thing what to do. You may not know the right thing to do. Maybe doing something perfectly normal. Get with them. They're the experts on that job, usually. But you got to go in there, and you go in, and you try to find out, you know, hey, what's going on? Explain to me what's going, you know, hey, I'm interested in learning on how you do this. And guess what? Maybe once you show that you're working with somebody, then guess what happens? Oh, hey, now you're working together. You're meeting each other. You're building a little bit of a relationship there and everything else. And, maybe they're not smart on this, but they're smart on something else. And maybe now you learn something and now you could go and you can work with them. And okay, maybe you're smarter. And now, no, you're not. You don't know what's going on. The whole thing. That's what you got to do. You got to work with people, folks. Work with them. Number eight, private confrontation. Avoid undermining and confronting colleagues in public. Address issues privately and document the interactions, right, if appropriate, to ensure accountability. We had a jerk on a site about 3 weeks ago. Yesterday, 3 weeks ago, go completely berserk. Site manager. So I'm forced, because of what we do here, human and organizational performance, and a lot of the other stuff, I wrote a very detailed email to our customer saying, hey, the way that this person's acting, right? It's not making this a less safe thing. Regardless of what the problem is, yelling and screaming means that you're not going to get the input and the information you need to run a company safely. The way it is. No one's going to report anything if you're a jerk, if you're screaming and yelling. Even if you feel like screaming and yelling is like, hopefully you don't, make faces like I do sometimes, like that guy that does the safety stuff online with making faces with accents, right? Again, you have to do that. Now, stay positive. Maintain a positive attitude and don't let negativity affect you. This approach not only promotes safety, but also enhances your career. Nobody wants to be around a person who is negative. Doesn't happen. Positivity. You want to learn about being a leader? Act positive. Be an optimist. Be a can-do person. Don't say no all the time. Say, we can do that if we have the right procedures. Matt Damon talked about this where he was on a set with, I believe, Alec Ball. That was Alec Ball. When it was Tom Cruise, one of the Mission Impossible movies, where they wanted to do a stunt that he was working on for 15 years and thinking about it, Tom Cruise. And whoever the safety person was said, no, you can't do that. So they fired the safety person. Well, let's apply something. My question is this. If you're going to be out there, thinking about, if you know somebody's been planning something for 15 years, why don't you hear the person out? Maybe they have a way of doing it safely rather than dismissing it out of hand like allegedly this person was doing. Say, you know what? Yeah, we can do that if we do all this other stuff. Yeah, we can do that, but let's get the right equipment, the right training, the right procedures in place. Let's get that into, you know, using the SKR mode. Let's see if we get that into the skills mode where we saw, all right, and everything else. That's a much better way of going about it than, no, you cannot do it. No, you can't do it. Well, guess what? I'm paying the bill. I'm going to do it anyway. Say yes. Or you can say, yeah, you know, if we do X, Y, and Z, we can ensure this. And then they may say, you know what? This is someone I can work with. And then you get out that that beloved hazard matrix table, and now you're able to figure things out, which is a much positive, more positive thing than know all the time. You want to know all the time, not me. Now, prevent workplace violence. After the situation we had the week after Christmas in this town, I'm sorry to end this whole thing on a negative note, but no. We talk about psychological safety, and everything else. We now have resources available, 988, and a lot of the suicide hotlines and everything else that are out there. Use them, right? No. I've had to do a couple of workplace violence investigations over there. Never had a fatality. And we always hear, man, that guy was always a hostile person, usually a man. They're always a hostile person. With a woman involved in a workplace violence situation, it's usually a someone coming from off-site to your facility to commit the act of violence. That's my understanding of it. At least that's often what the case is. Again, you got to go out there and you have to say, you know, address this. If you have somebody acting crazy, you have somebody that's like, you know, that's a little bit odd. Maybe you want to address it. Because I tell you what, I hear all this stuff. Oh, well, that didn't, you know, hey, you know, I wasn't out there. I picked up the microphone and backed up here. Right? How could we have known about that? Why didn't we know about that? And all the other nonsense that goes along with it. You know, very frustrating. We didn't know. Yeah, usually they have known. They did know. There were indicators. And even if they weren't, you can at least have peace of mind saying, look, I go out of my way to see if there someone has a problem. Right? And that's what I've learned over this stuff. Now, I incorporate all of this into my training classes. Everything that you just heard. On how do you manage people? How do you manage safety? Maybe you want to get this video and the other one. No, we're going to be uploading this and the other one that we have later on, right, after this show. And I am saving this. I didn't save it. All right, I will go from there. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be coming back to you.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
Have you?
Oh, we already did.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things.